Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week of the UFO No More podcast. My name is Laura. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Japanese_ginger. The blog is on Twitter at UFO No More, and also our site, ufonomore.com. And then new this week, our podcast is available in a few places, most notably iTunes, but also Stitcher. Just search for the UFO No More podcast, or I'll put links in the post. And I've put links on Twitter, too. So for this week, usually I talk about exciting events going on with royals or things like that. I wanted to make it a little more personal this week. I had a bit of a rough week, and it kind of reminded me, just thinking about how I handled it and stuff, reminded me just about the work that royals do around the stigma with mental health, and I kind of wanted to give you my perspective on that. And so maybe this is very tangentially related to royals, but I think it's important enough that I'm going to go for it, and hopefully that's okay with you. So just to kind of background of this week, I was just feeling sad, and there wasn't a good reason for it. I can't pinpoint why. And I found myself constantly, you know, I wanted to say something on Twitter. I'd want to, like, kind of reach out to people either in personal life or Twitter or wherever. And I would always stop myself, and I was like, this is how they're going to see me for the rest of the time that they know me. All they'll see is this moment. They won't see anything else around me or anything else about me. And I realized, that's the stigma. That's what you hear William, Kate, and Harry talking about. That's what you hear other royals talking about. And it's like, and I realized, you know, like, people, not just royals, but other organizations have made progress on the stigma. It's now more acceptable to talk about mental health than ever. But I still have that fear. Like, right now, I'm terrified that all you're going to think about when you see me is what I'm telling you right now. You're not going to think about the other things about me. And so I think that's the stigma that's really hard to overcome. It's something, the fear that it creates in people. And something that it kind of reminded me of was about Crown Princess Victoria of Sweden, who many years ago had an eating disorder in a very public way. And I think it was so cool how they didn't really shy away from it at the time. And now, especially years after the fact, like as recently as her 40th birthday interview, Victoria opens up and discusses about it and talks about, like, her recovery and where she was and where she is now. And I think that that is so powerful. Because this is a person in a prestigious position, a high-class position, and a person who I think if I was in her position, I would be terrified that people would see me differently. And the fact that she's confronting that is so powerful. It's so important. And so I think, not just royals, like I said, this is tangentially related to royals, but it's everyone. It's celebrities, it's organizations, it's you, it's everyone being willing to confront that. And it's so hard for me. It's so hard. I couch my words all the time. I am constantly living in fear of it. And it's something that I just realized, you know, I never hit home to me more than ever about why the work around mental health stigma is more important than this week, than when I was battling this in this moment and still battling these fears. And so I think that's, I just, especially with the timing of it all, with the event around the Royal Foundation that happened this week. And obviously that was focused on more than Heads Together. It was focused on the whole foundation. But it just kind of reminded me that there's still a lot for Heads Together to do. And it's not just with the stigma. It's obviously, I said this when I was interviewing Jess, there's a lot of work I can do on helping people with treatment and support systems and all of those. There's a lot for Heads Together to do. But I think the stigma is something that's always going to, I don't know always, but it's a problem, and it's not a problem that's going to go away overnight, and it's something that requires attention for a while. And I'm really happy, obviously, personally, I really like hockey, and that's been a huge focus in the hockey community, because we've had a lot of hockey players battle addiction, battle different kind of mental illness, and all of those things, and hockey is becoming more open about talking about those things and encouraging coaches and players to promote that in their teams and in the media and all of that. And I think it's so important in all of these different areas that we embrace the idea of creating that space where people feel okay talking about it. And it's not something that can happen overnight, because obviously I think you can kind of tell that I'm being very careful with my words, and that's because as much as I might try, there's still that fear, and it's not something that you can get over overnight. It's not something that one change can, like, alleviate the fear. And so I wanted to have this podcast just as kind of a stop and think moment. And I think the climate I'm seeing on Twitter right now is so negative and so quick to judge people. And so, and I mean, if quick to judge fellow Twitter users, quick to judge the people you're tweeting about, just quick to judge in general. And I think it's so important to take a step back. And I'm not saying everything has to be positive all the time, but everything doesn't have to jump to this all-out aggressive attacks that I'm seeing on Twitter all the time. And it's just so important, I think, to assume good intent where possible and to try not to ascribe malicious intent where ignorance also fits. Because if someone is either ignorant or a terrible person with bad intentions, maybe think ignorance first. Maybe try to educate them. And that's okay. But I think if we come from a place where we try to understand other people, if we come from a place where we try to engage in productive dialogue, in positive dialogue where possible, but even where we disagree in productive and not attacking dialogue, it creates a place that not only is just better to be around, is a happier place to be, but a place where people do feel comfortable opening up, because they, like, for instance, and this is a real thing for me, I see people make these judgments about every royal you can imagine, and I'm not going to single out a single, and any of them, because then you'll accuse me of favoring one or favoring the other. No, any royal I've seen judged on these minuscule, minute things and blown up to be this large overarching thing about that royal's character. Why would I not think that when I say something about my personal life, about something that I've battled, that you're going to blow that up and make some huge sweeping judgment about me as a person? I'm going to think that. I do think that. And that's why I'm being so careful right now. And that's where I see we have work to do. And it's something that I think there actually is a lot of intersect with the different royals. Because, for instance, Carl, Philip, and Sophia, they have their foundation, their foundation focuses on two things: dyslexia, which Carl Philip has, and then net hate, which is kind of like cyberbullying, which is what Sophia faced a lot when she was marrying into the family. But I think it kind of extends on beyond that, because if you read what their organization talks about, it talks about making the internet safe and productive for children. And part of doing that is giving them the resources so when things get bad, be it on the internet or elsewhere, they have resources to turn. And on the internet, those social networks are positive, productive places and not places that tear you down or places that you live in fear of. And that's, I think, so important. And so I wanted to record this podcast to maybe offer a little bit of a reflection for you and to kind of show you the environment that Twitter has maybe been like lately. And it's, I can't pinpoint one thing. It just seems like it's gradually spiraling more and more, and it's sad to see because it can be. And that's not to say that right now there aren't a lot of people who are really positive and have really awesome Twitter feeds and just really awesome people. That is certainly true because this week I had a few people, and they know who they are. I don't need to say their names, and I'm not going to, but who reached out to me and went way well and above and beyond what I would even expect of an internet friend, and were very open and helpful with me, and sorry, that it made such a difference. It did help, and so those areas do exist. It's not all bad. But I just want to, I guess, hopefully I want this to make you stop and think about the atmosphere that you're creating. And I've certainly done that this week. It's forced me to be a little more introspective and think about who I follow, who I engage with, how I'm tweeting, all of those things, and really stop and consider all of it because I want a place where people don't say, oh, I'm afraid to say that because Laura might see it. I never want someone to say, oh, I'm afraid to reveal this about myself because Laura might see it. Because that would really bum me out. I would say I'm not doing a good job on Twitter. I need to work a little bit. So I hope you guys don't feel that way. But the more and more viciousness I see online, the more I want to reflect and say, what can I do? But I also hope that you guys will reflect and stop and think about the environment and the climate that you're creating. And some of it is as simple, and people kind of taught me this. I used to be a person, I was like, I'm never blocking anyone. And then that I would block the really, really weird people who would like tweet random things, respond to me all the time. So I would block some of them, like the spammy kind of people. And then I obviously with the mute, I started doing that, and it's been such a game changer. It's not even people who are like super vicious, but I'm like, if they're constantly trying to nitpick at me, constantly bringing me down, that's not worth it to me. And so I have utilized mute because it's just, I'm creating a place that brings positive energy to my life, and hopefully I bring positive energy to their life. But if it's not, then I need to do what's best for me. I just want to apologize that this is a bit of a rant. But I just think it's so important to address the way that I've seen some of the conversations around royals and just how we interact with other royal fans on Twitter, how it's devolved a bit, and also kind of tie that into a cause many royals do work on and something that is definitely in getting more attention, and good that it is. And so I kind of wanted to talk about that. There's this article, I don't know if it's still available, but I think it's very important. It's called What Made Maddie Run, and it's by ESPN. And it's about this college sophomore, freshman, who is a runner, a cross-country runner. And she had this Instagram page, like you would expect of many college girls. Just full of fun and food pictures and pretty scenery and all of this stuff, and you would never know. And then one day, she killed herself. And they kind of go back and talk about, you know, what happened and all of that. And they reference a conversation, something that I found very jarring and honest, was this conversation I think she had with her mother, or her friend or something, who said, you know, oh, this is so pretty, you look so happy, what's going on? And Maddie said, that's just a picture. And it's so true, because you know the saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes they're lies. Sometimes those words, it's edited. It's and that's Twitter too. Social media is what we want to present to the world. And sometimes we hold a lot of it back. Or reverse. Sometimes we're way meaner online than we are in real life. There's many directions it can go, but the thing that's so dangerous about social media is that it seems like it's real life. And in some ways it is. But in many ways, it's not. It's a fake projection. It's like a reality show. There's the perfect comparison. Reality shows on their surface seem real. And then you stop and think and you're like, nope, that's not real. That's not how reality is. And so it's a misnomer. And I think it's so easy. You know, I had a friend tell me this week, like, oh, do you think you're lovable or worthy of being loved? And the thing I responded to her, and I think it's kind of important, is, you know, it's a battle I've had my whole life where it's like, and I'm a Christian, so I'm kind of framing it in this regard, but I think it applies no matter whatever your religion, or if you have no religion, I think this applies, because I think everyone should feel that they are lovable and that there's people out there who love them. But it's so easy to say, in my case being a Christian, oh, God loves everyone except me. And it's so easy to say, oh, everyone else is lovable except me. And it's kind of the same with social media, where it's really easy to say, oh, mine is fake. Like, so I might be, people might think I'm, but it's fake. But everyone else, everything everyone else puts on social media, that's what their lives are really like. And that's obviously not true. But I just, it's so hard for me. It's been a battle this week and it's still not over. I'm going on vacation next week, so hopefully that brings the spirits up a little bit. But I wanted to try my hand at being more authentic. I wanted to try my hand at addressing a really complicated issue that I'm probably not qualified to talk about, but in some ways I have experience. And I wanted to kind of put in some heavier stuff. And so this may not be the podcast that's super fun to listen to. And I thank you if you've listened all the way up to this point. But I just wanted to give it a go of really addressing a problem. And I want to invite you to engage with me on this. Talk to me on Twitter. If you want to come on the show and talk about this or whatever, that's something I want to do now. So with Jess and with Brittany and stuff, I've really gotten pretty good at having guests on the show technologically. So if there's ever an event you really want to talk about, and I'll be reaching out to some of you, my friends who I know who have interesting things or interesting areas of expertise. But if you ever want to appear on the show, we'd be happy to have you. It's kind of I appreciate all my co-editors who kind of let me make this my baby and let me run with it. But so this is me, Laura, inviting you. And so please reach out to me on Twitter, and if you want to talk about this, if you want to talk about whatever royal, I can't promise I'll know everything because I'm definitely more knowledgeable about some royals than the other, but I love hearing from different people with different perspectives, and it's a lot of fun to have guests on this show. So please reach out, and I'll definitely be reaching out to some of you. The only real requirement is either Skype or like Google Hangouts. But as long as you have something like that, we can make it work. So with that, I will let you go and have a great week. I'm going to try to, we're working on getting the podcast out next Monday too. I am going to be on vacation, but I'm coming back on Saturday, so hopefully can make it work. So have a good week, everyone. Thanks for listening to my maybe incoherent but heartfelt rant. I really appreciate it.